the big word, the big phrase that affected me a lot more was, "You have such a pretty face." Mm. That I got told all the time. Oh, like in a sad way. Like my friends.
Like it's a shame that you're so pretty.
Yeah, like my friends' moms, grandparents, you know, would just look, teachers. You have such a pretty face.
Somebody say, oh yeah.
What's up?
He's better than Oprah.
Come on, y'all.
This is Sean T, and it's time to trust and believe.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Today is going to be an amazing day for you and for me. I am so excited for Trust and Believe today because we have pretty much one of the most inspirational and driven people I think I've ever met. And I say that from only spending not too much time with her, but her smile and her radiance really brings you joy, joy into your life, and joy into the motivation of you. Alana, how are you feeling?
I'm so good. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm happy to be here. I'm happy that you're here. And I want to say one of the things about you that, number one, I love, a lot of people know you from 2B Mindset, which I think is great. One of the things beyond your education that I really, really love about you is that you have something where you say you rev up people's slow metabolism. And I believe that in the energy that you carry all the time. You're always very consistent in revving up people's energy. I think externally, internally, and especially when it comes to their struggle with food. But before we get into anything food, I want to know about you. I feel a lot of times when people, when they see someone and they see them thin or they see the end result of them, they just automatically look at you and they say, well, she doesn't know what it's like to struggle, or he doesn't know what it's like to struggle. If people see people with money, they're like, you don't know what it's like to be on food stamps or government assistance. And it's just not true. So my first question for you is, when did you actually know that you needed to make a change?
Yeah, I was morbidly obese, and struggled with my weight for years and still have to be conscious about it every single day. So anyone who thinks like looks me up and sizes me up in any way, it's just, I laugh in my mind because no one's had to work as hard as I do. Even after having my baby, people are like, so unfair, you got to lose it right away. It's like, it's fair.
So what was that defining moment? What were you thinking? Where were you?
I'll never forget it. I had to go to weight loss camp since I'm a little girl. So everyone calls that like fat camp. I like to call it weight loss camp. But anyway, I had to go every summer for 8 years and weigh in, take my before pictures, 9 weeks away in upstate New York, exercising 12 hours a day, getting my pre-portioned meals, going to nutrition classes since I'm 8 years old. And I would just gain it all back every school year. And I'll never forget it. It was like when I was about 13 going into high school, I was on the baseball field, outside stretch aerobics, and in morning stretch. We would start with morning stretch. And I was just looking down at my body doing burpees or stretch. And I was like, it's not going anywhere, Alana. You only get this one body. Just make it rock. Just stop. Like, just stop losing it and gaining it and trying to manipulate the system and work around it. Your body's not going anywhere. These are your knees forever. These are your ankles. This is your heart. This is your lungs. These are your arms. Enough of the yo-yo. And that's literally, I was just like, okay. Like, just stop.
And how old were you at that point?
13. It's more like games, like stop Alana, like playing games, like because I would play so many games because, like I said, I struggled with my weight for so many years. I've been told by my pediatrician that I'm off the charts forever. I was always obese. I was always the big girl. And I always had to go to weight loss camp when all my friends were going to sports camps. So I had to like just cut the cord and just be like, enough. Because I would say like, oh, I'm having the main easy scoop of tuna and I'm only taking the cheese on the pizza and I'm not eating all the crust. So I'm being better and I'm blotching the oil and I'm, you know, picking out on popcorn versus potato chips, and they're a little more volume because I was learning like random tips in my nutrition class.
But this seems like a lot for a young person. So when you say games, because I think, first of all, you're young, and then you talk about games, and I believe that a lot of times, even through my own struggles, I was playing these games instead of hitting it. So give me a specific game that you used to play.
Oh, I mean, first of all, I used to blame it all on metabolism. So even though I saw that I was able to lose like 30 pounds every summer, I'd come back, gain, and be like, because I have the slowest metabolism, because I have grandparents who are obese, because I'm made to be obese. And like that is a game. Like just telling me, oh, my friends are all doing that. Amusement parks, right? So like I didn't want to have to get weighed or looked at to see if I can fit in the seatbelt on a roller coaster. So I would just tell everyone, I'm scared of roller coasters, which I am, but I don't know if I kind of created that fear because I just didn't, I wanted to avoid the humiliation of possibly not even being able to go on one. So I just turned into the camera holder because I'm so scared to go on roller coasters. I mean, that's like the smallest one I can think of, but even just on chairs in school, I would be like, everyone sees that I go past the chair. So I would curve my body to make sure that even when I look at this gives me pride now, right, that there's room in the chair. I mean, I think I was so in my head thinking about how to make it more comfortable being obese rather than taking that same time and energy and just focus on not doing it. So that's what I did at 13. I was like, enough trying to justify and work around this. Just face it, deal with it, and be free of it.
So I'm going to ask you a question that might, yeah, some people might, they might think this question is harsh, but, or some people might relate to it. A funny story of me, I have this person that was in my life called the Step Monster. If people read my book, they understand. And he always used to call me Turtle. He was like, Turtle, Turtle, Turtle. And he would tell people, oh, Sean is slow. And so I got this kind of complex that I wasn't as smart as everyone. But what they really didn't realize is that I was actually taken in the world. I didn't want to walk as fast as them. But because I was called slow, I started to develop. I was like, I have to make the honor roll. I have to prove that I'm smarter. But it wasn't a healthy honor roll. It wasn't a healthy proving that I'm smarter. And so when people or the doctor or whomever would use the word or term obese, did that get into your head at all? How did you internalize that word? And, you know, how does it affect you today?
The big word, the big phrase that affected me a lot more was, you have such a pretty face. Mm. That I got told all the time. Oh, like in a sad way. Like my friends.
Like it's a shame that you're so pretty.
Like my friends' moms, grandparents, you know, with just teachers. Such a pretty face. Like it's a waste. You know what I mean? I think that always hit me harder. And yeah, that always hit me harder. And I was just like, I want it when people tell me I'm pretty for it to
just
be a positive thing. But I think, you know, the pain that you experienced being called Turtle and like the pain I experienced, like, you know, getting little teased here and there and not being able to fit into my friend's clothes on sleepovers or, you know, I think it drove me in a really good way, because, you know, we're all motivated more to avoid pain than we are to seek pleasure. And so I don't think I dreamed of being thin and in clothes and wearing dresses. And I dreamed of that, but I never really thought it was a reality. So I think what I was always driven more was to like just keep avoiding this pain. And I think I just got stronger in associating so much pain with being obese, with being told that, beyond people's words. it was physically causing me pain. Mm-hmm. Like, I had chub rub in my thighs that would burn. You know, I would come back from summer with my friends wearing a skirt, accidentally forgetting to wear legging shorts underneath, and I would have to, like, keep my legs apart for hours with, like, baby powder. And I would just be like, I think I just, it got to a point where I started manifesting all the emotional and the physical and the threats of my diabetes and heart health that were arising. And it all came together to be painful enough that I was able to just, like, get past it, shut it down, enough of the excuses, and move forward.
I think that I hear that as a parent today, as a father. And again, some of these questions might be a little tough, but I ask them because people might be thinking them. How much of a role did your parents play in this?
Very interesting. Very interesting. My parents play a very interesting role. My father loves that I talk about, but we're so close. My father and I talk every single day, all day. My mother,
that's cool.
Yeah,
I like that.
I love him. My mother passed away 2 years ago. I always had a really good relationship with my parents. I got divorced when I was young, but they stayed best friends, which was very nice. So we used to, like, bounce back from house to house, but it was kind of friendly. Mm-hmm. My mother had a very negative relationship with food. Very bad. Did every diet. I saw it all. I saw the swings in her weight. I saw the swings in her, what she was doing. And I saw the negative consequences of those swings. And it was enough for me to say, I ain't ever doing that, in a really good way.
Right.
You know, it was almost, and she knew that too, that she was, like, kind of taking, unfortunately, this horrible sacrifice. And she just, it was very hard for her to overcome her eating issues. But in a way, it really made me, I never skipped a meal. I'm obsessed with food. I never engaged in diets. Like, I never did any of these, like, quick fix bad things because I just, like, saw the roller coaster and it made me, like, run. And she, thankfully, always told me I was beautiful. She always told me I was beautiful. She always took me for bigger clothing sizes. She always took me to get custom-made clothing if I had to. And then when I lost weight, she would get. But she always told me I was beautiful. And I have a lot of private clients whose moms are their harshest critics. Tell them how heavy they are. Tell them how much they have to lose weight. And it's like, it totally messes with people. So I think I've been very fortunate that my mother, no matter what size, always told me I was beautiful, but definitely played a role. And my father, who I love dearly, is now down 60 pounds with me and is the best. I mean, I was on the phone with him on Saturday night and he was like, I'm going to Whole Foods now. I'm getting my food for the week. Like, he is a rock star. He travels so much for work. He'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, I need some more peppers on my salad. I'm like, you go, Dad. Like, he loves... But he needed me to help him because he just didn't have it together.
So what was his, so would you say that, I mean, just to be clear, so when you were younger, both of your parents were...
Struggled with their weight forever. Just struggled with their weight. We were just an obese family.
So when you went to...
We love food.
When you went to weight loss camp.
Yeah.
And I love that you love food. And we're going to, I'm really excited about learning about you, but I'm excited about the Alana now and what she does because I know you love food and I can't wait to get some tips from you myself. But so they sent you to weight loss camp.
But and they didn't change.
Right. So when you came back home.
Everything was the same.
Right. So do you think that played a part in, like, you not being able to continue? I mean, I love that your mother told you you were beautiful.
Yeah.
And obviously, but.
If nothing changes, nothing changes. And that was the issue with the camp. Is, you know, you get sent to this idealistic fairy, you know, place. And all my friends from weight loss camp growing up, and I'm still very close with a lot of them, and a lot of them are actually doing my Doobie Mindset program.
I love that. That makes me so happy.
But no, everyone gained their weight back. And a part of me loves the camp for giving me a positive association with weight loss at a young age. But at the same time, they didn't. I mean, it's in their best interest as a business model to make sure you gain weight, the weight back. And it's not that they made sure of that, and they tried to send, you know, the camp at home tips, but at the end of the day, they're a business. So they didn't really give us salads, or they gave some salads and vegetables, but they kind of were in the business of portion control because pizza is cheaper and the pasta and cheese is easy.
Right, right.
So instead of eating a whole pie to myself, like I used to at home, I would get my one quarter, and that would kind of be it. You know what I mean? So it was kind of like they didn't really, and they tried to teach us about nutrition. They tried, but there's only so much they can do. But they didn't really, I mean, you're also 8, 9 years old, so how much are you going to really get through to kids? But I don't think, like, my palate evolved, and I didn't really internalize the change. So when I'd go back, I ate pizza in camp, I could eat pizza at home. Now it's in front of a television. Now it's at 8 p.m. at night. Now I have a whole thing in front of me. You know what I mean? So it just kept growing and growing.
Yeah, I like how you said, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And, you know, I talk a lot about yo-yo dieting or just, like, kind of like the up and down thing. And I find it to be
exhausting.
It's exhausting. The second thing I find to be very inspirational about you is that it pretty much the foundation of you, of your weight loss journey, was yo-yoing.
Yeah.
So what was that moment where you're like, I'm breaking the cycle? I know I know you said before how you kind of looked at yourself, but for someone out there right now who might be in that cycle.
Yeah.
You know, like I talked about it, it is a game. Yeah.
It is a game because I didn't realize I was playing it until later in life recently when people started asking more about my story and I realized, wow, I was in the game because as much as I didn't do diets, I did a lot of the mentality of it because I would say, oh, I could kind of eat whatever I want now because I'm going to go back to camp later, which is what people do every time they say I'm going to start Monday, right? I just did that with the summers. So I can kind of gain as much as I want now and do whatever I want because I'm going to lose it back in the
camp. And come back to school and people were like, oh my gosh, you lost so much weight.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then it would just fade and because I would gain it all back. And that I totally was in that I had to just be done with. And it's like, it was also ridiculous. And people do it today, which is ridiculous because 10 months of the school year, you can gain a lot more than you can lose in 2 months. So I'd lose 30 pounds, but I'd gain 50. And I'd be like, oh, it's okay because I'm going to camp to lose 30. But that's why I kept amassing so much weight over time. And people do that with diets too. It's like, they'll be like, I could be super strict for 30 days. Well, you can, you know, even just 30 days of a holiday season of December when it's in your face or the time between Halloween and New Year's, like you can gain a lot of weight. It doesn't really matter like what you're going to do the 3 weeks. And that's why people yo-yo diet, but they're actually gaining so much weight over time. And it's also the dieting mentality I had was waiting for an idealistic situation, which was the summer versus, and everyone does that. It's like, it's okay because, you know, I'm going to be so strict. Now, there's always a curveball.
Yeah, I call it situational exercise. People are like, I'm going to get married, I'm going on vacation, and it's not extended into, like, this is what I want my life to be like. And so, so you were really about to drop some science. And so before we continue, I want to take a quick little break because when we come back, what I really want to know is what motivated you to get higher education in this, to go on to get a master's degree, which is phenomenal, and how you utilize those tools. And then I want to find out what you say to parents of children who struggle with what you struggle with.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
All right, so we're back from the commercial break, and I am going to get right into it. Alana, what motivated you to get higher education in health and science and nutrition? Like, tell me about it. Because we heard about your story, but was that the motivating factor, or was there something else?
So it's such a good question, because as a kid, I wasn't very academic, but I always wanted to be a registered dietitian and get my master's degree in nutrition. And eventually I want to get my PhD, which is actually not that much more time. I just have to make the time.
Right.
And it's chemistry, biochemistry, like physiology classes, labs, organic chemistry, like you wouldn't even believe, 1 and 2. It's pre-med. And I was not academic. So but I always wanted it because I was seeing dietitians since I'm 8 years old. Like there were dietitians at camp. So I was taking nutrition classes since I'm 8 years old, three classes of nutrition classes a week for 9 weeks every summer for 8 years. So I really think I have more nutrition education than anyone because I've really been taking formal nutrition classes since I'm 8 years old, like dozens and dozens and dozens before I was 15. So, and then I even took in high school, I would sneak into NYU classes for nutrition because I was just always interested in talking about food and helping people with this and also uncovering why it is such a struggle. And I just wanted to know more and more and more. But I also just wanted to make sure that if it was starting to work for me, which it was, because starting at 13 when I decided enough to change and I took everything and I kind of created my own system that was working really well, that didn't involve diets and the yo-yoing and avoided everything my mom and dad had always tried and kind of took some things from camp but clearly left a ton out and started incorporating my own flair, which is fun and livable. When I started doing that and it was working really well for me and I started shedding this weight on my own, not in the summer, but in the school year, I was like, I need to help other people do this because this is doable. I'm finding a way where it's doable and fun. I want to do that. And I want to make sure that I wasn't just going to start a blog like people do today and start, you know, proclaiming I was an expert. Right. It's just not my style. So I just wanted to make sure that I was an expert and I had the highest level of education and the greatest credibility. If I was going to help people do this, I want to make sure that I was going to be doing that in the best way possible.
Right.
So that's what ended up motivating me.
You just motivated the hell out of me right there. I love it. All right. So knowing you have education, what is the one thing you would tell parents who might have a child who is heavier or they're just not into the healthy eating? And the reason why I ask this question is because obviously I've experienced as a fitness motivator, I've experienced parents who like to work out and their kids don't, or the kids who like to work out and their parents don't, or none of them like to work out and they ask me questions. And specifically, there was a couple that I knew, well, I know, but I met them years ago. And the mom and dad were super, super lean, just very active. They ate really healthy, but the daughter seemed to be either defiant or just there was some sort of disconnect, or maybe it was her body type somehow, but she was heavier. And so, and I think she carried around a lot of anger toward her parents because they were kind of forcing that on them. So
there's the full spectrum. There's so many issues around kids and their parents and weight, and I deal with it all the time then, working with clients.
And then, as a new parent, I mean, I know how I will motivate my kids, but obviously they're not old enough for me to be thinking about whether they need to lose weight. So this
hopefully
is for me.
You never have to, yeah.
Yeah, and if they do, I'm going to the expert. Yeah. So I'm coming to you today, and hopefully you can help out many other people. Yeah. So like, walk me through this, because I think this is really important for parents, and then obviously they can use it for, because the other thing I get is for spouses, you know, I work out, but my spouse doesn't. I work out, but my mom doesn't. She needs to lose weight. So,
and the worst is when the family members are trying to sabotage, right? So it's like, my spouse doesn't want to lose weight. I want to, and he keeps telling me, like, I need to try that ice cream, and then making it harder. That's, like, totally
unacceptable. And they don't want to eat what you want to eat. Right.
Yeah.
So let's go. Start with the kids, and then go to the adults.
So this is definitely a specialty of mine. I definitely specialize in teenage obesity and working. I love working with teenagers because I understand them really well. They relate to me really well, obviously, because my before pictures are as a teenager. And I understand the psyche. I understand the mind. And I also like that they're getting more independent, and I want them to be independent. And at the same time, I also want to make sure that I'm like the last thing they ever have to do, right? Because if they're not going to work with me as a teenager and do my approach, then unfortunately they're probably going to fall into that yo-yo fad diet sea of monsters that I just want them to never have to deal with. So I do love working with teens and parents. To be quite honest and frank, I am very honest, upfront, and frank. When parents tell me my kid needs to lose weight, what do? The first thing, if they call me on the phone or I hear them, the first thing I say is, do you need to lose weight? Like, first thing first. I can't even tell you how many parents are like, my kid needs to lose weight. And I'm trying to be as nice as possible about it, but your kid might have to lose 50 pounds, but you still could lose 30.
Facts.
And the bottom line is, it's all role modeling. And my father figured that out also. Is like, he kept seeing a therapist and he's like, what do I do? And he says this openly. He's like, what do I do? My daughter needs to lose so much weight. She's so obese. And the therapist finally looks at him and goes, dude, you got to lose weight. Like, what is she supposed to, she needs a role model. So the first thing I tell parents is, you have to be a role model, and it's actually all modeling. This morning, before my flight here, I took out a bag of mini bell peppers because that was my snack and what I was like chewing on the way to here because I'm a little
ridiculous.
Did you
bring me somewhere to bell peppers at?
They're gone. Sorry. I'm just kidding. So I was like eating them with my coffee in the morning, and my daughter goes, I want one. And she just took a bite and put it on the table. It's modeling. You know what I mean? So our kids are always going to be a possession of what we do and what we create. And when you eat vegetables and you do work out with a smile on your face and you talk so much about how it helped you get clarity and you know, give you more energy so now you guys can go to a theme park or something like that, and you really emphasize the positivity and the enjoyment in it, kids will take from that. You know, that our vacations don't revolve around the buffet. Our vacations revolve around renting bikes. I mean, all of that is going to foster just better habits for their future. So first things first is it's modeling. And then the second is I always say, you know, what my mom did for me was the best thing. Knowing that you're amazing and beautiful every day, no matter what size, is great. Is great. You know, but
that's
she always
really great, yeah.
But didn't let me get too comfortable that she wouldn't take me to camp, you know, so and want me to go to camp and type of thing. So I think the you're heavy, you need to not eat that is the worst thing you can do for kids, because then they'll rebel and hide, you know, candy in a menorah.
So what do you say to parents? And I have a few other questions for you, yeah, too. You're not getting off the hot seat yet. Yeah. Now, I know you don't, and you don't want to get off the hot seat. But what do you say to parents who their kids are like, yes, I want to eat that salad, but I also want to eat the chicken nuggets, so I also really want to have French fries, and like, how do you balance that out without making a kid feel like they can't enjoy some of the same foods that their friends
right.
have? Or
it's really hard for kids. One of the hardest situations, which I encounter all the time, is when some of the siblings or like one kid doesn't have to lose weight, and another kid in the house does have to lose weight. That's really hard
because one person can eat something that the other person
I know can't. So many families where one kid actually has to gain weight and the other has to lose, and it's like very, very, very difficult, hard on the parents, so it doesn't show favoritism. And
right.
It's a lot to balance. I definitely recommend parents don't try to be a registered dietitian. Don't try to be. It's like the same if you have a kid who's struggling with math homework. If you're the one who's trying to help with the math homework, it can create a lot of tension. Sometimes it's really helpful to bring out an outside tutor
yeah.
or something like that. So you can be mom and someone else can be the weight loss help or whatever it is. So, I mean, if you can swing that, it's really recommended. Insurance will kind of cover it. There are some classes in different, you know, places. I mean, the 2B mindset, I'm really thankful that it became now something people can stream
yeah.
and learn from, because it really is a nutrition course that teaches you just how to eat well and can totally create and has created
yeah,
weight loss
results.
Yeah, so
let's results. Go deeper. Let's go deeper
yeah,
into 2B mindset.
I think kids can listen to the food group videos.
Right.
Like, they don't have to do other stuff that's, like, insisting on weight loss, because it's a weight loss program at heart, because I love weight loss. But, like, they can benefit from just learning and understanding the purpose of food groups, how I break them down, what that looks like. And I don't think we should shy away from teaching kids about nutrition and giving them food rules. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to tell my kid that they have to stop eating that because, you know, I don't want them to get a complex.
I have a friend that tells her daughter that if she eats candy or if she eats a piece of cake at a party in school, she's going to have to go to the hospital. She's allergic to it. So now she's like super,
terrified.
She was super afraid, until one day she was like, I'm going to try this. And she realized she wasn't, which I think is so wild.
But that's too extreme. But it is important to teach kids about nutrition, and it's important to give them good food rules. Like, everyone is afraid of giving their kid a complex and making the kid have eating disorders. And it's a good fear to have. But what's really crazy to me is if you look at statistics, less than 1% of kids, I mean, it depends on the demographic, but have eating disorders like anorexia and bulimia. And literally one in five children under 18 in the United States is overweight or obese. It is 20% have to lose weight, and only 1% are dealing with like underweight and starvation. And so everyone needs to put the emphasis more on like helping kids maintain and achieve a good, healthy weight. So for me, like, I never got told kitchens closed after dinner, ever. It was like free for all. No,
I only got told that because we ain't had no more food, but good.
Yeah. Goodness. But like for, you know, now it's like, Olivia, this is dinner. Do you want another bite of your burger? Because this is dinner. After dinner, we're doing bath, we're doing bedtime, we're doing book, we're going to bed. You know, so like, it's done. You know, a lot of people are like, what do I do? My kid keeps wanting snacks at night. And also, it's like, you also need to help create.
But it's structure. Also, but then that's when you ask them, how are you eating snacks in front of the TV after dinner?
There's
you
know? No eating in front of the television. Like, yeah. That is a good rule.
But that's I'm saying, but that's what a lot of parents, they say, I want my kid to not snack. But I'm like, you have the chips out or you have the glass
modeling.
Of wine. Yeah.
And they're like, my kid doesn't see. Your kid sees everything.
Right.
My kid hears everything. It's scary. Scary. Yeah. It's scary.
So let's get into the adults. Mm-hmm. Because I love that we are helping parents, you know, help their give great modeling behavior to their children. But it starts with the parents. And you created an amazing program called 2B Mindset. I love seeing the before and after pictures. They're great. But what I love
the
most,
words are so much better.
What I love most is about why they feel good about the way they look. Because I always say chase the feeling. And so
it's so much more feeling, but pictures are so much more Instagrammable. But honestly, the testimonials are really in the words.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I wish with every before and after photo, we get the wow factor and it does get people excited about doing it. But
I try
words,
to overlay the words on the pictures. I know.
Well, you do a great job. So you should all follow her.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But so tell me, not in a super nutshell, but like, why is 2B Mindset so powerful?
Okay, so I approach weight loss way differently than anyone else. And that's why I think I'm the best at it. Like, Grant, usually, like, food.
Fats.
Yeah, I just don't think it's possible that someone has my level of nutrition education and has lost 100 pounds and has counseled as many people as I have, both at UCLA private practice and with the 2B Mindset. Like, I just really think I'm like an expert when it comes to the food.
You're like, I'm there. Well, you did the work.
And learning every day from everyone. But it's interesting because I wanted to be an expert in nutrition because I thought nutrition teaching would lead to the best approach to weight loss. And actually, if you look at any diet, it's always nutrition based, right? Like paleo, just you change what you eat. And, you know, it's like Pritikin or low carb or high fat or keto, whatever it is, change, eat this, don't eat this. Nutrition is how you lose weight. So I was like, okay, I got to be the most, you know, expert in nutrition. And it's funny because I have more education in nutrition and I actually speak less about nutrition than a lot of other people, because once I started going into practice and starting to counsel so many people, I realized, whoa, nutrition approach to weight loss is a lot smaller than I thought. It's just a third. It's just one pillar. There's a whole other sea that isn't being addressed. And so I realized it's a third nutritional, a third environmental. A lot of it is environment. You know, you see it, you eat it. Insight in stomach. Setting up your environment strong, kind of making it inconvenient to gain weight with like different tips and tools and behavioral aspects is really great. like sometimes I'll counsel someone and we'll just focus on environment, speaking to your spouse, speaking to your neighbor, planning for a trip, like what's the intention going in, how you're going to like make sure you have a mini fridge type of thing, and what you're going to get from the menu, how you're going to navigate. I mean, just environment is a big pillar that makes things very easy. And that's where marketers try to really just destroy you, because that's insight in stomach. They try to get the worst things, the highest margin things in your sight, in your stomach all day long. And then there's emotional, psychological, huge third pillar, huge. And like sometimes a client will be like, is it okay if I eat this veggie burger? It has 180 calories and it's 12 grams of protein. I'm like, should be okay. Let's keep talking. And it's like the chocolate chips when you're on the phone with your in-laws. It's the emotional piece. And it's the environment, the chips that you're eating
in
the car.
Well, that's one of the things that is so interesting, that, which is why I think I'm really drawn to your method, because I don't think it's, people are like, what's more important? And I'm like, nutrition is a small portion of it. It's how you think. And so I do
mindset,
get a lot.
Not metabolism.
I tell you, one of the main questions I get is, Sean, I'm eating so healthy and I can't get the weight off. And my first question is,
what else
are you eating? I say, what else? Because I know they're going to tell me they ate the salad or the grilled chicken. I know they're going to tell me.
Everyone reflects on the good stuff.
I said, so what else? And they're like, no, I ate the sauce. You ate that at lunch in front of your coworkers, or you ate that in front of your friends or your spouse. What else? And they're like, well, I mean, you know, I had this and I had that. And it's always, I had the pasta, I had the cake, I went to the vending machine because I was hungry, so I ate the Pop-Tarts.
Well, you know that. Like, everyone focuses on what they did do and not on what they didn't do type of thing.
Right, and so I think that's the one thing. I mean, obviously, in one of these other pillars outside of food, you know, the emotional, environmental. And if you can give me one tip on how to get them to break that.
One thing I wish every person in America and the world would do is own their care. Mm. Okay. And I think you would relate to this, because I think what happens is everyone says, I care to lose weight. I'm buying Transform 20. I'm buying, you know, 2B Mindset. I'm getting that shake. I'm ordering that cookbook. I care. My doctor tells me I should care. Shoot, like, I care. My kids, yada. And then it's those moments of, I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. Where's the bottle? Where's the chips? Oh, I just don't care. I'll start Monday. And it's that. It's the giving up on the care. And I think if everyone just owned the fact that they do care about their body, and that they should care. Mm. It's actually a good thing to care about your body. You only get one. It's like the only thing you have. It's the only piece of real estate you have. So you care about getting that new knob on your door, but you don't care. You know what I mean? If everyone just owned the fact that they do care 100% of the time, we really wouldn't have a lot of issues.
But it's, you know, the I don't care comes from that emotional pillar.
The emotional pillar of believing that you can't.
And I always say it's not the thing, it's the thing. It's not that you don't care. It's coming from another place.
Well, it's also, it's comforting to give up, because then you don't have to try. It's, you know, it's deep.
Yeah.
It's deep. And honestly, one of the best things a client can do is, like, also sometimes see a therapist. Also sometimes, like, get to the root of other causes. Because when people gain weight, people gain weight for millions of reasons, like, I always ask people, like, what's your story? How'd you get to me?
Yeah.
And it's long. And a lot of times it's just thinking you're eating healthy and making nutritional mistakes. And a lot of times it's, you know, you moved in with all these frat guys or type of thing. Or you got an injury, you were relying on exercise, could eat whatever you wanted, got an injury, got older, got a desk job, you gained weight, your environment changed.
And now you're not eating healthy because you don't feel like you have to perform at a certain level.
Right, yeah. Or you're too all or nothing about it, or you just let it go. And then the emotional piece is big, though. That's usually where people, it's like a parent passes away. You get fired from your job. You know, and a lot of times they're all interconnected. But food people take too much as comforting and not enough as purposeful. And when you own the fact that you care about your body and you're going to be comforted in the fact that you're taking care of it, it's like you really can get things done. You can really stay committed. You can really – weight loss gets easier when you go from I can't eat that, which is like annoying, to I just don't even want to because I care so much about myself.
Yeah. The eye care movement is very important. We need to make that a thing. Eye care.
People just need to own the fact that they care and know that it's a good thing, that it's to be celebrated.
Yeah. So my last hardcore question for you, I guess this is hardcore because it's a question that I think a lot of people will listen to you and they think that most people are like, oh, they can do this because there's the Whole Foods, there's the Sprouts, there's all of these healthy stores that are really, really, really expensive. And they might look at you and say, you can afford that. But what about the parent that, you know, I grew up on food stamps, government assistance, on times when my mom didn't have a job. She was pretty much a single parent. You know, I was in a very unstable household. And so now you want your child to be healthy, but you can't afford to go to Whole Foods.
Let's definitely talk about it.
Yeah, so let's talk about that.
Because I'm, just like you, not a gentle person when it comes to excuses. And the truth is like this healthy is more expensive thing is, I hate to say, it's an excuse. And I'm going to explain why. So before you turn off and say that I suck, everyone needs to just listen why.
No, let's go.
First of all, it is expensive to stay overweight. It is very, very expensive to stay overweight or obese. A recent study from University of Texas, from UT Public Health, said that the cost of being obese annually is $3,192. That breaks down into $8 a day. So when you're at a burger place, fast food joint, and it's burger and fries and a fountain drink, okay, which is literally like, that fountain drink, by the way, is the biggest, like, express train to diabetes. Yeah. Like that, literally, like even if you did the burger and fries, like literally just sipping like sugar into that bloodstream, turning your blood into maple syrup immediately, making it hard for that blood to circulate and deliver that oxygen to your toes, to your heart, everywhere, like fastest train you could possibly do. So yes, that value meal that's not valuable to you is $6, let's say. Now to say, I don't want the soda drink, I just want the cup for water, free. Saying, I don't want the fries, I want the salad, because McDonald's and fast food places do sell salads. They actually do. Yes, they do. McDonald's actually gives more apples out than any other food distributor, okay, through their, like, apple slices. So if you make that swap for apple slices or the thing, it might be $9, okay? That could be, like, a $3 difference. It could hurt you expense-wise. But when you realize you're spending $8 a day staying obese, it's just a matter of where the pocket's coming from. Also, everyone who's doing my program, not everyone because I haven't, you know, asked 200,000 plus people, but I've gotten many, many, many people telling me that they have saved so much money with my program because I love saving money. I have money-saving tips throughout. I love frozen vegetables. I love canned vegetables. I love frozen, you know, proteins. I don't like to cook long meals, but I'll show you how to make them really quickly. It's expensive to order and take out every meal. It's expensive to do drive-thrus. And so many people tell me that they're saving money because they're asking themselves more often, like, am I hungry or is it just a habit? And they're just not eating anymore as a hobby. They're finding other hobbies and they're not eating for emotional, mindless reasons. And that saves a lot of money. Junk food is not cheap. Sometimes like $2 for $1, but like it adds up. If you're treating yourself like a bottom feeder, it's an expensive habit. It's like cigarette smoking. It's an expensive habit.
So what I like to do on Trust and Believe is I need you to look into that camera and just give people motivation on how to enhance their journey through your motivation and how, like, what is the superpower that you have that they can literally utilize today?
Okay.
And take this superpower and push it through the rest of their journey so they continue to care about themselves.
Okay.
And give it to them.
All right, here you go. I want you to repeat after me.
Can I do this?
Yeah.
Okay, I will.
I want you to repeat after me. Literally, I don't care who's around. Take a second, close the door, but you're going to say this out loud. Not just internally. I know you think you're too cool. I mean it. Out loud with volume.
That means everybody in here too.
That means everyone, okay? Repeat after me. I can do this.
I can do this.
I will do this.
I will do this.
Because I care to do this.
Because I care to do this.
And this could be lose weight, finish Transform 20. It could be anything, but you can and you will because you care and you should care. And caring is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So own it and be proud of yourself every time you do something because you owned that care.
Thank you,
Alana. Yeah.
So you heard that. You have to care about yourself. I think that's one of the greatest. I mean, you said a lot of great things today. I learned a lot today, especially as a parent, and even some things I struggle with that's outside of weight. But I think for everyone out there, you have to literally care about who you are. Alana, myself, some of the other people that motivate you, they care about you. They care about your success. But that doesn't matter if you don't care about yourself. In order to trust and believe in who you are, you have to take your journey to the next level. You can get all the information you can from experts or just from people who care about you. But at the end of the day, if you don't care about yourself and you don't put that care into action, it's not going to happen. So go out there, make it happen. Rewind this and repeat after Alana maybe 10 to 100 times if you need to until you care about yourself, and always trust and believe in who you are. And Alana, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Of course.